Well, let's start. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we just love to come to you and worship you. Lord, as we come to you this morning and on this beautiful sunny day, we're just reminded of your awesomeness. Lord, as we get ready to read from your word, I ask that you would just minister to us, remind us of your love, and why you like us doing the things we are to do. Just be with us, Father. Just speak through me now. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read out of Ephesians a little bit this morning. And I titled the message, Instructions on Living. And God does have a plan for us. So I want to read out of Ephesians 4. It says, a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And this is Paul talking to the Ephesians. This is who's doing this. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So Paul's basically, he's a prisoner for the Lord. He's sold out 100% for Jesus. And he wants us to be. Now, he says he wants us to live a life worthy of the calling. In other words, there is a way to live when we follow God. And we should live worthy to that. And we do this not by beating each other up. It says, be humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Is how we need to do this. But how do we learn how to do this? I mean, it's real easy to say you're supposed to live a certain way, but most of us don't really know where to start when you hear that. So I want to read Ephesians 4:11, starting there. It said, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors, and some to be teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I'm not going to interpret that whole thing. I mean, we don't have enough time. But the point I'm trying to make is that God put people in place that we can listen to. There's people that he put in place, like you said, there's some of them are apostles, some are prophets. I mean, you have evangelists, people that are out trying to lead people to Christ. And then you have teachers and preachers that are trying to take those people that know Jesus and give them direction on how to live. Because we do need instructions. It's no different than getting instructions to ride your motorcycle out on the track. We need instructions to do it right. So God put the people in place to do that. But why did he do that? Well, let's just read some more. It says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Well, there's a mouthful right there. And we'll just kind of pick it apart a little bit. It says, then we will no longer be infants. I mean, it's just like a newborn baby. The Bible says, when we receive Jesus, we're born again. And the reason it says that is we start over. It's a new beginning. And it's just like starting a sport or anything else. At the beginning, you kind of take baby steps and you work your way into it. And you learn more and more how to do it. And it says, that way you're not tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. And what it's talking about there are people that don't teach the Bible. They say they do, but they put their own spin on things and they kind of make it sound how they want it to sound. And if we follow teachers and we read our Bible and study on it, it's real easy to figure out who they are. And then once we're grounded in our faith and understand what we're really believing, then when we hear this stuff that's way out there, that far out stuff that you hear, you go, nah, that ain't right. The Bible doesn't say that. I've never heard anything like that. And that's what he's talking about, being tossed back and forth by the waves. Now, it's really easy to follow some of this stuff. I mean, you watch some of those self-help people, and or heck, you watch Oprah. I mean, there's a lot of different places where some of the stuff they talk about, you know, if you first listen to it, like, oh, that kind of makes sense. But if you know enough about Jesus and the Bible, you can compare it to that and say, well, no, that ain't what the Bible teaches. I'm not going to follow that. And that's what Paul's warning us about, and that's why we need to do that. We need to be plugged in. So how am I to live? I mean, how are we to live? Well, let's just read some more. It says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And that's kind of what I already said. You know, if we do that, if we study the Bible and we follow teachers that truly preach what the Bible says, once we start getting grounded in that, then we will grow up into Christ, is what it says. And we will We will become better at following Christ. But he goes on, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up into love as each part does its work. And it's referring to us needing each other to do that. Now, I stand here on the State Race mornings and I give a message to you guys, and hopefully anything that's for me falls to the ground and you just hear the parts that are from God. But in the same way that I'm trying to encourage you guys, I need encouraged. Even teachers or preachers, whatever you want to call it, I just call myself a minister because that's a servant. And even I need build up, and I need people to help me in my walk because I'm just no different than you guys are. I fall and stumble every day. And that's where the body comes in. Now, I got Honda Bob. He helps keep me straight. I mean, I got other friends that, well, he tries. But you know, we all have people that help us in our walk. And that's what makes up the body. That's what's so awesome. And that's what we're supposed to do. And if you go to Ephesians 5:15, it says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, but because the days are evil. In other words, when we get up in the mornings, we need to make a conscious effort in saying, I'm going to walk for Jesus today. It doesn't just happen by itself, because the enemy, he wants us to go his way and just go wherever he wants, you know, what makes him feel good and where he knows he can get us separated from Jesus. And the enemy cannot steal our salvation. There is no way he can come between us and Jesus. And if we're truly saved, we're saved. But he can sure make our life miserable here. And that is one thing that he's really good at and he likes to do. And that's why, you know, it says, you know, be very careful in how you live. We got to pay attention to how we live. We can't just go out there and say, I just go, you know, whatever. I go with the flow. It doesn't work very good. Now it goes on. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I mean, we got to literally try to find what the Lord's will is. 90% of it, you can find the will right straight in the Bible without really searching that hard. And there's concordances and there's all kinds of stuff that help you. You open it up and you look for a word like faith. Boom. And it'll give you scripture after scripture where it talks about faith. You open to another page, love. And you go in and you can find stuff online. It's really been made easy for us to learn the Bible. But make sure you read the Bible part and not what some commentator says. The commentators are good. It's good to listen to them, just like you're listening to me. But always read what he says and read what the Bible says. And then, does that fit with what this says right here? To make sure that they're not telling you something that you ought to not be listening to. And it's really not that hard. The more you get to know the Bible, the easier it becomes to realize who's right and who's blowing smoke. But let's go on and see what else it says. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That's pretty obvious. When we start partying and stuff, and I mean, I'm not against having a drink. Me personally, I don't, because I got a problem with it. But people that don't have a drinking problem, having a drink or, you know, a glass of wine, a few beers, nothing wrong with that. But if you drink too much, you know, it says it leads to debauchery. Well, why does it? Well, our inhibitions go down. I mean, I know when back when I used to party all the time, the more I drank, man, the more things I could do. I mean, all my bashfulness was gone, everything. I mean, I could do the craziest things and had no problem with them. But when I sobered up, it was like, man, I'd have never done that if I was sober. And that's what it does. And that's why the Bible warns us against doing that. It says, hey, if you do that, you're going to do things you wish you wouldn't. So you're better off just staying away from it. All right, and it says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in the heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a whole lot of stuff in these couple of verses, but really the point is, focus on Jesus. That's where our focus needs to be. And when you go to work, if you start your day focusing on Jesus, odds are it will go a lot better. Now, like my job, I have a pretty demanding job, and when I get into working and really start working, I don't have time to sit there and think about Jesus every 2 seconds. You don't. I mean, you got to concentrate on your work, otherwise you're going to mess up. But if you start your day with him, and if you take time out through the day a little bit here and there to think about him, it becomes a lifestyle. And even so, he's not in the front of your mind, he's still in the back of your mind. And when it comes time to make decisions on what to do, you will automatically do the right thing. That's the whole point of that. And you will live the way God wants you to live. That's awesome. So why should we want to do all that? It's kind of a summary of this. And I just made 4 notes. And there'd be a lot more of them we could talk about, but we don't have time. My first note was, if Jesus is our Savior, we should want to live to please him. It's just that cut and dry. If we make a decision for Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and then we just live however we want to, there's probably a really good chance that your decision wasn't real. That's the only way I could say. Now, I can't be the judge of that, because some people grow real slow, some people grow real fast. But if there's no change at all in a person's life, if they have no desire to do what Jesus wants them to do, I would warn them, and they would really need to look in the mirror and go, man, did I really do that? Because if it was real, you're going to want to follow him. The second note was, if we truly live like this, we will get along better with others. In other words, we will treat others like we want to be treated. You know, that one scripture, treat your neighbor as yourself. I mean, it gets our mindset in doing that. The third one, God wants us to live a positive life, and he will bless us in it. What I mean by that, if we don't live for God, it's real hard for him to help us. If we're trying to focus on God, he wants to help us, just like a dad wants to help his kid. I mean, it's real easy. If your son is always rebellious and always doing whatever he wants to do, after a while you get to the point, it's like you're either going to straighten up or I'm going to boot your butt out into the street. I mean, that's pretty much it. Well, we kind of tie God's hands when we don't do what he wants us to do. Because he'll be standing there going, you know, I really want to help you, but you're totally living like I don't want you to live. And man, I don't know that I can. And a lot of times we end up fending for ourselves when he's supposed to be there. Now, the great thing is we can say, God, I really messed up. I'm sorry. And he comes to our help anyway. That's the awesome part about a forgiving God. But the fourth one is, if we are in God's will, he can protect us against the devil, which I already kind of talked about a minute ago. And if you read Philippians 6, verse 12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So it's basically telling us, you're not just fighting this stuff here, right here. There is evil out there. You know, most of us, most people believe in angels, but as soon as you start talking about demons, they're like, oh, I don't know about that. They want to believe that angels are there because they're, you know, angels are good guys. But they don't want to believe in the bad guys. Well, the bad guys are out there, and they're here to make us fall. And the more we're plugged in with God, the more He can help us and fight that spiritual battle. And then we can walk and feel good about ourselves here. I mean, it's all great that we're going to heaven someday, and I'm glad I'm going. But I got a few more years here, and I'd like to see them as good as they can possibly be. And by living for Jesus, He can help me do that. And that's basically with what I would like to close with. Just remember, the closer we're plugged into Him, the better things can go here, even through our trials and tribulations, because God's there to carry us through all of it. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank You so much for everything that You do. Lord, we thank You for the fact that You give us the instructions. You don't just say, live for me. You give us the instructions on how to do it. And that's awesome. And so many times we struggle and fall away and do what we want to do, and then things don't go right and we just don't understand it. A lot of times we follow You and things still don't go right and we don't understand it. But we know in that case You're still there carrying us. And whether we understand it or whether we don't, the promise in Scripture is that You will be there for us, and things will, You work all things together for good for those of us that believe and are called according to Your purpose. So we believe that You will guide us. We just thank You for everything You do. But Lord, we also know it starts with people knowing Jesus as their Savior. And I ask that You would touch people that hear this message, that if they don't know Jesus, they know that they need to make that decision first, a decision to believe in Him. And once they do that, then all the rest of this can apply to them, because before then it doesn't really apply. Father, we thank You now for the beautiful day. We thank You for allowing us to race. And I just ask for protection on everyone, Lord. Let them be safe out there. Have a good time. As always, let's do it for Your glory, not ours. In Jesus' name, amen.